Attende, Domine, et miserere, quia peccavimus tibi.
The light of Christ shines upon us in the midst of our Lent. We prepare for the glory of that dawn of the resurrection, which is our new day and the promise of eternal light and blessedness. In sacred scripture, light, physical light, is always a sign and pledge of faith and the fruit of faith, which is salvation. In the Old Testament today, from the reading from the book of Genesis, we see how God uses the fiery torch in the middle of the night, the frightful night in which Abraham finds himself in, as a sign of his covenant, his promise that he will be with Abraham and his descendants forever. And we see that sign used over and over again in the Old Testament, as when the column of fire leads the chosen people of God through the desert. God is always using his signs to confirm his presence. And specifically, light, like the light under, you know, a bushel basket, we're supposed to take it out and let it shine before men. The city of God lit on the mountaintop, the lamps carried by the virgins before the bridegroom. All of these are to remind us of the importance of faith, of our assent to the truth that God has revealed to us as our guide through the doubts and trials of this life. Specifically, in regard to this second Sunday of Lent and the gospel reading which we have today of the Transfiguration, we are called to remember how our Lord sustained his apostles, his friends. You know, Peter, James, and John were those who were closest to our Lord, and our Lord took them aside from everyone else and led them up onto the top of the mountain, and there before them he was transfigured, his countenance and his garments, you know, turned into light. He was glorified in their presence. Saints and holy doctors tell us that this was really our Lord's state, you know, and it was hidden most of the time. But here he allowed his glory to be revealed to his closest friends so that they might be sustained, that they might be strengthened for the things that were to come. Our Lord appears with Moses and Elijah. Moses, which represents the law, you know, that God had given to his people, and Elijah, the prophet, who represents how God had continually intervened into the lives of his people to call them back to his truth. These two are standing as prefigurements of things to come in the presence of the fulfillment, in the presence of Jesus. All the whole law and the preaching of the prophets is fulfilled in the coming of Christ. And there Elijah and Moses are speaking, as St. Luke tells us today, of the passing that Jesus was to accomplish in Jerusalem. Jesus was to pass from this life to the next, from suffering into glory, from life into death and back to life, as a fulfillment of everything that that God had promised. And, you know, this is specifically the light of Christ. This is what God's word wishes to teach us. It's all about our redemption, all about the sacrifice of Christ and our incorporation into this mystery. And this is our challenge, because for us the light seems to be dark. Our Lord is asking us to unite our lives in the midst of suffering, the sacrifices that we have to make, temptations which we experience, the challenges which we experience in terms of being faithful to our daily duties. You know, the burden that weighs upon our shoulders. Come to me, all you who are weary and are heavily burdened, and I will give you rest, for my yoke is easy and my burden light. You know, this is the message that Christ gives us. We experience the light of Christ in the midst of what seems to be darkness. And there are moments in our lives when we seem to experience that light. We feel the consolations of God. We see how our life sort of fits into God's plan, and we recognize that God is with us. But probably most of the time, it doesn't necessarily feel that way. It seems as though we're going in the midst of darkness, and we don't always know what to do. There are many doubts in our lives. We don't always know what God's will is. It seems that we're not receiving confirmation about what we're supposed to be doing. And our Lord is showing the apostles, you know, that they can be sure that if they follow our Lord to Jerusalem, if they pick up their cross and carry it, if they remember his promises, that ultimately our fidelity leads to glory, our willingness to carry the cross leads to Easter Sunday, that we will reach the goal. The problem is that most of the time we're not on the Mount of Transfiguration. Most of the time we're in the Valley of Darkness. And it's up to us to remember the words of Christ. You know, and this was what our Lord was trying to encourage his apostles to do. You've been with me all this time. You've heard what I have to say. You've heard the message that I have to give. You know, this light that you're seeing with your eyes right now is to remind you who I am, so that when you don't see the light, at least you will remember my words. If you remember on Easter Sunday, when the two disciples were on the road to Emmaus, and our Lord appeared to them on the road, he upbraided them for being slow of mind and dull of heart to remember all the words that had been spoken about him. You know, they knew the prophecies, they knew the law, they heard the words of our Lord, and yet when our Lord actually suffered and died, they thought, you know, everything had come to naught. And our Lord didn't excuse them. He said, you should have known better. You should have remembered the things that I told you. You should have remembered that all these things were prophesied. It was the destiny of the Son of Man to suffer and to die, to be delivered over into the hands of wicked men, and then to rise on the third day. And so, you know, the apostles and our Lord's followers, for the most part, had a real hard time with this message. You know, our St. Peter, for example, at Caesarea Philippi, was the one to proclaim the divinity of our Lord. Who do they say I am? Who do you say that I am? Peter replies, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then no sooner had he done that our Lord begins to speak about his suffering and death. And Peter says, you know, far be this from you to allow this to happen. And our Lord doesn't excuse Peter. You know, he says, get behind me, you Satan, because you think like man instead of like God. Because this is my destiny. This is what I have come to do. And if you are going to be part of me, you're going to have to pick up your cross and follow me. You're going to have to walk in the light of my words. The transfiguration is all about giving us an interior confirmation and strength to cling to our Lord's words, because there's this moment of light when our Lord reveals himself and you know, there's the voice of his Father. This is my Son, my chosen one. Listen to him. And then the light goes away. So they saw the light. They heard the voice of the Father. The light goes away, fades away. The voice is heard no more. And then God expects them to remember the things that our Lord told them. You know, he's not promising this light and this special revelation from the Father at each step of the way. They're called to cling to our Lord's words, to remember the promises that he had made, and to follow the path that he had laid out for them. And this is our lot as well, of course. You know, we see our Lord's signs. We have the scriptures. We live in the light of the 2,000 years of our church's history. We know that our Lord is really present for us in the Eucharist. We hear the words of absolution in the confessional, that we are forgiven if we are truly repentant. And then we are called to walk the walk. You know, sometimes our Lord is going to be there and confirm the faith that we have, confirm us in our fidelity, you know, console us in the midst of our sorrows. But sometimes we're not going to have that. Sometimes we're just going to have to turn to His Word, turn to the teaching of the church, recognize that, you know, what the will of God is for us, you know, to be faithful to the promises that we have made in our vocation, whether it be to marriage or to religious life or the priesthood, and to persevere in that vocation, and to recognize that our Lord isn't going to, you know, it's every day is not going to be a Transfiguration Sunday. We're not going to feel that that experience at each step of the way. But, you know, our Lord is feeding us. He is sustaining us at every step of the way. We do have an opportunity to come before our Lord's real presence in the Eucharist every day. And whether we see the light or not, there is this presence of God's glory. Our Lord is, in a certain sense, transfigured before us. The bread and the wine is turned into the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord. And He comes to us in his sacred presence, in His real presence in the Blessed Sacrament. And so our Lord is always with us. He is always keeping His promises. I will be with you always, even until the end of the world. You know, not in this transfigured way necessarily, not where we can see the light with our bodily eyes, but the light of faith is always present to us. And the grace that it comes with faith that sustains us, especially the sacramental graces, most especially the grace of the Eucharist, is always with us and always available to us. And so we are always being strengthened to make the act of faith and to be transformed from this vacillating, sometimes faithful state of the apostles before the Ascension and before Pentecost to the strength of the apostles after Pentecost. You know, they heard, they saw the transfiguration. Even these three who were closest to our Lord saw the transfiguration, and yet, you know, they doubted. You know, only John was at the foot of the cross. They all had to see the sign of the empty tomb before they believed in the resurrection. And then even after that, you know, there was a sort of, you know, vacillating, you know, at the Lake of Galilee, where our Lord appeared to them, you know, after Easter, and Peter had to be sort of, you know, remonstrated with again, you know, you're going to have to follow me, you know, where you don't want to go, and all of these things, they had to be strengthened. And even until Pentecost, they were still hiding in the cenacle. They weren't courageous to preach the Word of God. We all have to go through this. We all have to go through this. And we are all going to be challenged in our faith. We are all going to have to come to terms with the cross in our life. But our Lord does strengthen us. And that's what we're to remember at this moment as we find ourselves in the midst of Lent. We're supposed to be reassured that our Lord will fulfill all of His promises. He rose on the third day. He will be present with us until the end of the world, and He will strengthen us with His grace. In a special way, we have to always turn to our Blessed Lady, you know, because in the darkest moment, she was with our Lord in a spirit of complete fidelity, in a spirit of perfect faith, stood at the foot of the cross and watched what was unimaginably painful to her, the most painful thing that anybody could have ever experienced. She watched her son die upon the cross, and she did so believing that His words would be fulfilled. And so always when we want to have greater faith, we turn to the Blessed Mother and ask her to intercede for us and help us to have her faith and to believe with her heart and mind, and to love Jesus as He truly deserves to be loved. And so we can continue with our Lent in the hope of the resurrection, in the hope that our Lord will fulfill all of His promises, knowing that even if we don't see the light, that the light of faith is within us, and that our Lord is as present to us in the moments of darkness as He is in the moments of light. And He is pleased, very, very pleased, when we are willing to walk with Him at each and every moment. Our Lord has been our friend, even unto death. Let us walk with him in good moments and in moments of trial, in moments of light and in moments of darkness, knowing that he does, in fact, fulfill all of his promises and that he will be with us until the end of time.